All eyes on the Chapel Hill Town Council tonight when they meet in Town Hall at 7 p.m. Two very big items on the agenda. First of all, council members will consider adopting Complete Community, a multi-use focused, greenway-centered framework for future housing development, and moving ahead on a pilot project to see how that works in practice. But the most watched agenda item will be a discussion on the future of the former American Legion property. Town staff have proposed using 8 to 9 acres for affordable housing and preserving the other 27 acres as a park, but some residents want the entire property reserved as parkland. Get the full agenda for tonight's meeting online at townofchapelhill.org. Orange County commissioners already had their meeting this week. On Monday, they gathered to elect a new board chair and begin the process of replacing Renee Price, who got elected to the State House last month. Commissioners will appoint a replacement likely in early February. With more on that, here's 97.9 The Hill's Bryden McConnell.
Price currently serves as the chair of the county commissioners, meaning not only will there be a vacant seat to fill until November 2024, but the commissioners on Monday needed to elect a new de facto leader. The group did so during the organizational meeting, after swearing in the four commissioners who ran to stay on the board this past fall.
To the best of my knowledge and ability.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
Three incumbent commissioners took their oaths of office for new terms. James Zeta Bedford, Sally Green, and Earl McKee each ran unopposed and are set to be on the county board for another 4 years.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Anna Richards, however, was sworn in after her first official election. Similar to whoever will replace Price, she was appointed to the Board of Commissioners in 2021 as a successor to the departing Mark Dorison. Richards said Monday she's excited to finish out the remaining 2 years in the term and was especially honored that her 96-year-old mother was there to help her take the oath.
And so it's just really gratifying that she was able to be here at this time and see me, because she and my dad really were my inspiration for service. They lived a life of service and taught us how important it was to be active members of our communities.
After the swearing-in ceremony, the board held its new elections for chair and vice chair. The commissioners unanimously selected Bedford, who had served as vice chair for the last 2 years, to assume the role of chair. Bedford likewise thanked her family in comments on election, adding that the role is challenging without many adjustments from those in the commissioners' circles.
We are away from our families and spend a lot of time reading, working, going to meetings, and acknowledge that support from our families and our neighbors and colleagues and children. And I look forward to working with all of you for another 4 years.
The election for vice chair was more split. Commissioner McKee earned one more vote than Commissioner Green. McKee, who is the longest tenured board member and is set to serve his 13th year, thanked the citizens of Orange County during his comments for placing faith in him for a fourth term.
I've enjoyed working for this position. I have helped improve the lives and fortunes of the county. Also like to thank the board. This is one of the most productive and one of the most enjoyable boards I've sat with in a long time. So I appreciate the camaraderie and the progress that we've made.
Price's seat will become vacant at the end of December as she takes her new oath in the State House for District 50. Among the other agenda items approved Monday were the application questions and timeline for the county board to receive candidates to assume the commissioner role. Similar to the 2021 appointment process, the board will consult with the Orange County Democratic Party to see if they recommend any specific candidates, as is the party's right by state law. The applications, which are live now, will close on Friday, January 6th, and the current commissioners hope to make an appointment during their February 7th meeting. Price said she believes the application and appointment process was effective before, and said the board can be flexible in its consideration of candidates from the local Democratic Party.
But I think you'll get some good applicants. And just for the record, because people have been asking me this, I will not have a say whatsoever in who succeeds me, because I will not be here when you vote.
A link to the application for the Orange County Board of Commissioners and photos from Monday's swearing-in ceremony can be found on chapelborough.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Up in Washington, all eyes on the Supreme Court this morning as justices hear oral arguments in Moore v. Harper, an elections case out of North Carolina that could have massive implications for elections nationwide. At issue is whether and to what extent state courts have the power to oversee election rules and district lines drawn up by state legislatures. North Carolina courts have repeatedly struck down district lines as partisan gerrymanders that violate the state constitution, but Republican lawmakers say the U.S. Constitution gives them the exclusive power over making election rules, no judicial oversight allowed. That's called the independent state legislature theory, which the Supreme Court has repeatedly rejected in the past, but several current justices have expressed support for it. If the court sides with Republicans in this case, depending on the scope of the decision, observers say it could have a major impact on election law, possibly opening the door to widespread partisan gerrymandering and even wiping out other election reforms as well. Oral arguments start at 10 a.m. You can listen in at supremecourt.gov. Elsewhere in state news, North Carolina Labor Commissioner Josh Dobson says he's not running for re-election next year. The 41-year-old Republican has only served one term in that office, but he says he's been an elected official for the last 14 years, and it's time to move on to something else. Meanwhile, good news for residents of Moore County, still in the dark after two Duke Energy substations were shot up over the weekend. Duke Energy officials say they're expecting to have the power restored for everyone by midnight tonight. Investigation of the shooting is ongoing, and officials still have not named any suspects. Finally, we turn to elections as we begin to shift our attention to 2024. Where do things stand in North Carolina? A new survey from Carolina Forward shows we're likely to see close races yet again. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are tied at 44 in a hypothetical presidential matchup. And in a hypothetical governor's race, Democratic Attorney General Josh Stein would lead Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson by 2 points, 44-42. Democrats will likely seek to paint those two leading Republicans as extreme. And public policy polling director Tom Jensen says that could make a big difference in the gubernatorial race in particular. Here's why.
We saw in some governor's races across the country this year that voters got to a point where they were really reluctant to vote for governor for candidates who were so extreme. It's one thing to vote for somebody who's really extreme for Senate or for the House, where they're just one vote out of many. But we saw, for instance, in Pennsylvania, that where Doug Mastriano, who was an extreme Republican, sort of in the mold of Mark Robinson, was the candidate, Democrats ended up winning the governor's race by 14 points, which is pretty remarkable in a state that tends to be pretty 50-50. And it was a big departure from the Senate race. I mean, even though Dr. Oz was a pretty disliked and mediocre candidate for the Senate, he only lost by 5. And then at the same time, this extreme candidate for governor was losing by 14. And I think that just sort of speaks to the fact that people are a little more reluctant to vote for people who are way out there ideologically for something like governor. It'll be interesting to see where North Carolinians come down on that and in relation to Mark Robinson.
That's public policy polling director Tom Jensen there. Hey, you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including a piece about a new wine shop and tasting room called Rocks and Acid that's opening today in Southern Village. Ribbon cutting at 10 o'clock this morning, official grand opening at 11. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Coldwell Banker. Carolina women's soccer is still reeling from Monday's heartbreaking loss to UCLA in the national championship game. UNC has made the final three times since their last title back in 2012, but they've come up short every time. Still a great season for UNC, but massive disappointment at the end. Here's head coach Anson Dorrance reflecting on the loss.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can really say to assuage their pain. But, you know, this is what I guess the best parts of athletics are all about. I mean, you really get to feel life in moments like that. And what Avery was trying to say is this is going to be very connective for these players because they all worked hard together all season. They got to the final game. Didn't work out for them. But as she says, I guess what the way they will look at this is, you know, 16 seconds to glory. You know what? That's an achievement. And who knows? I mean, if the referee hadn't stopped the clock as often as she did, and we obviously have to speculate whether or not those stoppages were warranted, if we were better able to sort of hold the ball a bit, because basically we're in sheer panic mode. That's the incredible excitement of coaching amateurs. They're in, you know, full panic mode at the end. And also, that was probably our Achilles heel this year. We were pretty good at scoring goals, pretty good at going up, and then pretty good at not holding on to the lead.
That's Anson Doran speaking there. Just one game on the Tar Heel sports calendar tonight. 8th-ranked UNC women's basketball is back home in Carmichael Arena hosting UNCW. Carolina's looking to get back on the winning track after suffering their first loss of the season at Indiana last week. Tonight's game tips off at 6. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for several Tar Heel athletes. First in football, where star quarterback Drake May was unanimously chosen by the Associated Press as ACC Offensive Player of the Year. In cross country, UNC sophomore Parker Wolf won ACC Men's Runner of the Year honors. He's the first Tar Heel ever to win that award. In men's soccer, Milo Garvanian earned All-Region Third Team honors from United Soccer Coaches. And in volleyball, the Coaches Association gave All-East Region honors to Tar Heel sophomore Mabry Schaffmaster. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes won last night 4-3 in overtime, lost last night rather, 4-3 in overtime at Anaheim, snapping a four-game winning streak. The Canes now have a few days off before their next game Saturday night against the Islanders in New York.